Welcome to the NewsHour. President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Washington tonight after a long day making the rounds on Capitol Hill, to the Pentagon, and at the White House. His goal? Secure more armaments to repel Russia's 18-month invasion.
But there is a growing chorus of skepticism and some hostility among House Republicans to the Ukrainians' requests. While on the other side of the Capitol today, senators met Zelensky with open arms.
Today, a leader at war in Washington to rally support. After bipartisan meetings with both the House and Senate, President Zelensky seemed optimistic about continued unity with the U.S.
We had great dialogue. I'm very thankful to you, to journalists, to senators, Congress for helping us, support us. We spoke about so many details, but it will be between us.
But behind closed doors, an urgent plea.
I'm quoting him verbatim. Mr. Zelensky said, if we don't get the aid, we will lose the war.
That aid hangs in the balance.
Is Zelensky elected to Congress? Is he our president? I don't think I have to commit anything. I have questions for him.
Where's support among some Republican members in the House, including Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is wavering. Far-right Republicans are opposed to sending what they call blank checks to Ukraine.
What is the plan for victory? Where are we currently on the field? The accountability issues that a lot of members have questions. Just walk through that.
Meanwhile, support from both party leaders on the other side of Congress remains strong.
These people in Ukraine who are fighting for their independence are taking on one of the two big adversaries we have, Russia and China. It seems to me we ought to be helping.
Providing aid is not just a matter of Ukrainian security, it's a matter of American security. Because a victorious Putin is an emboldened Putin, making the world less safe for democracy.
Among the key things Zelensky asked for during his Capitol Hill visit, more air defense and long-range rockets called ATACMS, which President Biden has been reluctant to provide. Just before Zelensky arrived at the White House to meet with Biden, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the president would not be sending ATACMS to Ukraine, for now.
To date, he has determined that he would not provide ATACMS, but he has also not taken it off the table in the future.
Later at the White House, President Biden welcomed Zelensky and announced a new $325 million military aid package to Ukraine, based on funds previously approved by Congress.
Today, I approve the next tranche of U.S. security assistance to Ukraine, including more artillery, more ammunition, more anti-tank weapons, and next week, the first U.S. Abrams tanks will be delivered to Ukraine.
American aid, now and in the future, is critical to Ukraine's survival. Early today, missiles rained over cities across Ukraine. It was Russia's largest aerial bombardment in more than a month. Some of the attacks targeted Ukraine's electrical grid for the first time in 6 months. Ukraine's military says they shot down most of the missiles. Still, falling debris ignited fires in residential areas in Kyiv and destroyed homes and businesses farther south in Cherkasy. And in southern Ukraine, projectiles destroyed a residential block in Kherson, killing five and wounding more. Raising the stakes further, the Polish prime minister on television last night said Poland would stop sending military supplies to Ukraine.
We are no longer transferring weapons to Ukraine because we're now arming ourselves with the most modern weapons.
And just last week, Poland, Hungary, and Slovakia announced a ban on Ukrainian grain imports, saying the move was to protect their farmers. Back in the U.S., as Republican infighting over more aid to Ukraine continues, President Biden seeks to project strong support for a fellow democracy under brutal attack.
And White House correspondent Laura Barrón-López joins us now from the White House North Lawn. Also with us to discuss today's developments, our congressional correspondent Lisa Desjardins at the U.S. Capitol, and in Kyiv, reporting on the Ukrainian perspective, our foreign affairs and defense correspondent Nick Schifrin. So, Laura, we'll start with you. President Biden met with President Zelensky. What's the administration's message as Congress debates more Ukraine aid?
Jeff, this is President Biden's sixth meeting with President Zelensky since the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And the White House message is simple, Jeff. It's that the United States is going to stand behind Ukraine as long as it takes. President Biden just announced a new security assistance package that they will give to Ukraine, and that includes new air defense systems, specifically more ammunition for the HIMARS rocket launchers, which have reached far behind Russian lines, as well as additional cluster munitions and additional artillery. Now, Jeff, Jake Sullivan of the National Security Council was telling reporters today that they are confident that in addition to this security package, that Congress is going to pass more funding for Ukraine to provide resources as that war continues, despite the fact that there is ongoing chaos in Congress. Jake Sullivan said that it is critical that some form of funding for Ukraine is passed by that September 30th deadline. They're confident that it will be. And Jake Sullivan said that if it isn't, that will create a lapse in the resources and in the supplies that the administration is able to provide to Ukraine.
So, Lisa, Lara reports that the White House is projecting confidence that the Ukraine funding will happen. Is that the sense that you're getting at the Capitol?
No, Jeff. Here I can tell you Senate leadership sources in both parties who are actually pro-Ukraine sources tell me they do not think that funding can possibly pass by September 30th and may not even pass in whatever the first round solution is to a potential government shutdown. That is a short-term problem for sure for Ukraine, but there is also a potential long-term problem here in that there is growing amount of questions, especially from House Republicans, about whether there should be any aid to Ukraine going forward at all or how much. Now, that said, as Laura reported earlier, President Zelensky spoke to senators in that historic old Senate chamber, and senators I talked to said he was powerful, he was strong, he said he thinks Ukraine can win. Speaking in English, he also said this will not be a forever war. But sources I talked to here, Jeff, say they just aren't sure how long it will take for that win and how much American money it could take as well.
Nick, as we mentioned, you're in Kyiv tonight. Answer those congressional concerns that Lisa just raised. Based on your reporting, how long and how much money could this take?
It is the crucial question for D.C., Jeff. And when we speak to frontline soldiers and President Zelensky's aides about that, there's no clear answer. They are still 100% focused on what they believe is their only goal, and that is re-seizing all of their territory, no matter how long it takes. And at least in the short term, seizing enough territory in southern Ukraine to threaten Russian supply lines and Russia's control over Crimea. But that is a Herculean task because of massive Russian defenses, and Ukraine is struggling to make progress in that key southern district. We have seen some success from Ukraine in the last few days, recapturing the village of Klitschivka outside of Bakhmut, but that is in the east, and only after pitched battles turned the town into a moonscape, as you can see in this military video. But in the south, where we spent the last week, some tens of billions of dollars of military aid have not overcome Russian minefields and those extensive Russian defenses. So it's not clear what the path to victory is, but it is clear, Jeff, what the path to defeat is. And that's what Senator Schumer and President Zelensky were referring to today. Ukraine cannot sustain the way it's been fighting if U.S. ammunition supplies stop coming.
Lisa, what do we know about the public support for your continued U.S. aid to Ukraine right now? And does that influence the thinking of leaders on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, public sentiment often can be everything. And if you look at recent polling, it shows you the kind of divide that we're feeling here at the Capitol. Let's look at some numbers from CNN from July. There you can see Democrats, should we authorize additional funding? 62% said yes. But Republicans, look at that. 71% of Republicans polled there say no. As we like to stress here, no poll is perfect. That's just a snapshot. But that's exactly what we're feeling here, is that in general, Republicans are the ones who are moving away from supporting Ukraine, a clear switch from the 1980s, of course, when Republicans were the ones leading the charge against Russia in the Cold War period. And I will tell you this also, talking to some members, including many who are staunch allies of Ukraine, they say they're just not getting phone calls from their constituents on this. Adding to the problems and complications for Ukraine, Jeff, is that, of course, we're facing this government shutdown, a major budget crisis coming up, and really just Ukraine and the importance of its funding seems to be getting lost a little bit in the lights here in Congress.
Laura, as President Biden talks so often about the importance of defending Ukraine, he talks about threats to democracy abroad and here at home. Where are his GOP rivals on this issue?
Well, the leading Republican presidential contenders are at odds with President Biden on this, Jeff. Former President Donald Trump, who is leading the field by double digits, has questioned additional funding to Ukraine, has said that he alone would be able to fix this problem if he were back in the White House and hash out a deal between President Zelensky and Russian President Putin. But again, there's no evidence that he would be able to do that. Also, the contenders right behind him, Ron DeSantis of Florida and Vivek Ramaswamy, are in line with Trump on this, questioning and again saying that they don't think that more aid should be sent to Ukraine right now. And that is where you're seeing a lot of those hardline House Republicans draw their encouragement from these leading Republican contenders as they try to hold the line and say that they don't want to support Ukraine anymore. But President Biden this week, and especially today as he met with President Zelensky, has really tried to hammer home the point that the United States, despite what leading Republicans on the presidential field and despite what is being said among the House Republican conference, that the United States is behind Ukraine and that all countries, all democracies across the world have a stake in this war that's ongoing right now.
Final question to you, Nick. You've been in Ukraine for the last 2 weeks. You've been to the front lines. What does the war look like right now?
Well, the violence continues not only in the front, Jeff, but also in the capital itself. Today, Russia struck Kyiv as well as half a dozen cities around the country. Most worrying, as Laura reported earlier, strikes on Ukraine's electricity infrastructure. U.S. and Ukrainian officials have been very worried about this because last winter, Russia launched a campaign across many months against Ukraine's electricity infrastructure. And for months, many millions of Ukrainians were without power and water. And in some ways, Ukraine's ready for it because it's been through it. But U.S. and Ukrainian officials are worried that another campaign like that could sap some of the country's morale to continue to fight against Russia. And the two things that have been keeping this country going, Jeff, are morale and those Western weapons that we've been talking about earlier.
Nick Schifrin in Kyiv, Lisa Desjardins at the U.S. Capitol, and Laura Barone-Lopez at the White House. Our thanks to you three for your reporting.